Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I promise not to ask our next guest about the NFL draft, although I know Casey and he knows exactly what's going on in the NFL draft. But we got enough to cover with the NBA in the postseason and the start of the baseball year with Casey Stern. You see him on TNT and NBA Network talking hoops, and also hear him on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio with Inside Pitch Monday through Friday. How are you, Mr. Stern?
What's up, Jode? How we doing this weekend? How's everything, man?
Okie dokie. I've been worse, but I sure as hell have been better, so I can't complain. And if I did, who the hell would listen? You would, because you're a good talk show host.
I hear that, bro.
NBA, we're no first rounds wrapped yet. The Cavs have a 3-0 lead. There are a couple of teams that are in very favorable position. We got a couple series that look like they could go long term as well. A couple of surprising performances, both individually and by teams. What has garnered your attention most here in the first 10 days of the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's not faring well for them tonight, but until then it probably was John Wall individually, just because, you know, this is a guy who's got an immense amount of talent, but when you get taken number one overall, you're going to get chastised, especially when you leave early. And he couldn't really shoot at the beginning of his career, but it was a terrific passer and certainly had the motor that he has getting up and down the floor. But ever since he's added a mid-range shot and some confidence, I mean, he's become really one of the better players in the league, even though people don't give him credit for. He's had a great year. So, you know, I think that performance has stood out. You know, how do you not say the whole Westbrook-Harden one-on-one, which, and even though there's no defense played whatsoever in that series and Houston's going to end up winning it, it's been fun to watch after what Russell did this year. And then the third thing would be the LeBron performance back 2 days ago, because I remember it wasn't so long ago, back in 2011, when people were complaining when they lost the finals to Dallas that he was afraid to take the last shot or he wasn't a winner. Now he's on his way to probably his seventh consecutive finals appearance. So, you know, I think it, like this season, Jody, in the NBA, it really was more about individuals. It'll be that way until you get Warriors, Cavaliers, and then it'll become about the three-peat of that matchup.
And as big a LeBron fan as I am, and I do count myself as a LeBron fan, I said here on these airwaves that the Cavs looked susceptible to me. They didn't finish with the best record in the East. The Celtics were able to beat them in the last week of the season. Their defense as a team was pretty darn sketchy. Shoot, the entire second half, but certainly in the last month of the season. And I said they could be had in the East. And I thought they were a safer pick to get back to a final than even the Warriors, because I just thought the West was harder than the East until Cleveland kind of came back to the pack big time in a hurry. Yeah, and then they win 3 straight games, and LeBron has won 20 first straight games in the first round. And is he just that good that he can turn it off and on whenever he wants?
You know, I think he is. You're now 47-7, by the way, also in first-round playoff games. Pretty good. I think he is. I'm with you. I will tell you that I think there's a better chance the Cavaliers don't get to the finals still than the Warriors. And I think, you know, when you look at a couple things, one, the game they played against Boston, which, you know, we thought was going to wrap up the one seed, they played well in the second and third quarter and ended up blowing out the Celtics in Boston. And I think a lot of us said, okay, well, deep breath. They were able to turn the switch. Maybe that's kind of the way it works. You don't have to do anything. You can kind of hang out and get bored and then in the postseason turn it on. But I watched them in Atlanta blow a 26-point lead in the fourth quarter. Yep. So basically the backups, no Schroeder, no Howard. Millsap was the only starter that was even on the floor. I think this is a team that if they have the cards stacked against them, if, you know, I'll give you an example. If Miles hits that shot at the end of game one, I want to see them on their heels a little bit. This doesn't seem like a team that's got the resolve it's had in the past. And they're also not very deep because, you know, Deron Williams, Derek Williams, Kyle Korver, the guys they have, remember Bogut went down 10 minutes into his Cavs tenure. There's Channing Frye, who can't play any defense, is their big off the bench. I think if somebody could take them into deep water, you could pressure them and maybe kind of see some of that vulnerability pop out. Again, I think, Jody, like you probably do, they're going to end up in the finals. But I will tell you, I'm where now still where you were, and that is I think there's a – even though the West is harder, I think there's a better chance the Cavaliers aren't in the finals than the Warriors.
Casey Stern, you catch him on the NBA Network and also TNT's studio coverage of the NBA. We'll get some baseball in with Case in a couple of minutes. I was disappointed today in the effort by the Milwaukee Bucks. I kind of bought into the fear the deer motif. They played very well at the end of the season. They were 20-10 in their last 30, and Antetokounmpo is as talented a young player as there is in the league. And they go up to Toronto, win a game, come back, defend their home court in Game 3, up 2-1. I thought they could go a long way in putting that series away in Game number 4. And they just kind of came out and laid an egg offensively, specifically Antetokounmpo, who missed some very makeable shots for me today. Are they just too young to pull an upset here in the first round this year?
You know, I don't know if they're too young to pull an upset in the first round, because I think the way Lowry has played, people haven't talked about this enough, he's been very shaky since he came back from that wrist injury. And I don't think it's his fault, but this is not good timing for him. This is a free agent at the end of the year. The Raptors have to decide if they want to go ahead and give him 5 years and max him out. And really, he's been hugely outplayed by DeRozan over the course of the last week and a half. You know, I don't know if they're too young to win this series. They're definitely too young to make a run. I think the people, what kind of we forget, two fronts. One, they don't really have a point guard. And I think, you know, as good as Brogdon has been, not a prototypical point guy, as good as Antetokounmpo has been with the ball, you know, I'd like to see him more off of it. You don't want him having the pressure of, A, having the ball, and then, B, having to be the guy to make the shot. You know, he's not James Harden. So I don't like him in that spot. The other thing is, Jabari Parker was a big part of this team. I could not believe, to be honest with you, Jody, to the point you made, that, you know, in part because Middleton came back, but they went 20-10 their last 30 games, and Jabari Parker looked like a star the first half of the season. So I think they're probably too young. I think they're probably missing a piece or two, but this is absolutely a team to watch. If Parker gets back healthy next year, you think about Middleton, Antetokounmpo, Brogdon's going to be in the rookie of the year running. This is a team that's got some money. I think they have the kind of players people will get excited about. Jason Kidd is still going to be a draw for some players who grew up idolizing him. I think the Bucks are a force moving forward at some point, but I don't think it's this year.
As do I. Tonight we will not know until game time, as a matter of fact, whether Kevin Durant is going to give it a go for the Warriors or not. I think it was a baseball coach. You'll probably be able to tell me, a manager or a coach who said, tell me when a player is ready, and then I'll wait two more games, and then I'll put him back into the lineup.
Right.
I got to believe that's Golden State's take going into tonight's game with Kevin Durant. Even if he's cleared to play, and he says he wants to play, and Steve Kerr isn't going to be on the sidelines, not he's ill, but he'll be fine, and he'll be back coaching the team again. It'll be an organizational decision. We're not seeing Durant tonight, are we?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you this. Let's not forget, the team without Kevin Durant was one game away from putting the Cavaliers away, and they were 73-win team. The team without Durant won 10 games in a row easily without Kevin Durant on the floor. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't make them better, but just to put it into perspective, Steph Curry's best 10 games of the year were, with no coincidence, when KD was out, because he went back into, hey, I'm the star and I'm going to just take over mode. They don't need Kevin Durant to beat the Trailblazers, who can't play defense against you and I if we were on the floor. So, you know, I would be careful. I would expect that you would be correct and they will be careful. They're not going to need Kevin Durant to beat Portland. They're not going to need Kevin Durant to beat Houston. They will need Kevin Durant to beat San Antonio. So I think they've got at least a week or two where they can be careful with KD and kind of pop him in when necessary. They got to have him ready for those last two series.
Now, I want to get your take on this. Casey Stern, basketball insider, MLB as well, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. I mentioned this on New York show on WFAN earlier today. I haven't brought it up yet here on CBS. Yesterday, in the social media-driven world that we now live, and everybody's opinion on Twitter and breaking immediate stories and the like, the last 24, 48 hours, there's been a rumor that Carmelo Anthony's potential trade to the Boston Celtics is heating up. That maybe a deal for Carmelo and Jay Crowder could be something that could be done. I don't know where it started. I saw several others report on previous reports, unnamed reports and the like. The Boston Celtics are down 2-1 to the Chicago Bulls. Yes, they pulled off an upset. They went into Chicago and won sans Rajon Rondo last night. But they're kind of busy watching their season go by the boards after winning the Eastern Conference. What in the hell would Danny Ainge be thinking or talking about a trade that can't have any effect on the team until next year? Forget the whole, is Melo even worth it, and his contract and everything else, but the fact that they're in the midst of the playoffs and someone's putting out there that they're thinking about trading for Carmelo Anthony for next year, how does something like this happen? How do we even let this get to the point where respected media members, at least quasi like me, have to comment on something as stupid as this?
Well, let's go to the back end of it. It gets to the press and gets to social networking because people who are in our business whose newspapers have gone away and now have to live based on their lives with their families based on clickbait have gone to places they weren't going for us 10, 20 years ago. And I mean, I've seen it time and time again. So I think, you know, that to me is not a surprise. This is, you know, either A, coming from Phil Jackson or the writers whose name I can't remember that he usually writes his stuff through, because there's no way that the Celtics, first of all, if you think about the Boston side, Carmelo Anthony makes no sense for them. They're going to have the number one overall pick in the draft, and they have tons of money open up. And, oh, by the way, in case people haven't noticed, there's a player way better than Melo right now named Gordon Hayward, who played for Brad Stevens at Butler, who's going to be a free agent, who is, to me, way more set up to go to Boston than Melo to take his $26 million. So, you know, I don't know where it came from. I can guarantee you, though, it has nothing to do with anybody from the Celtics.
I would tend to agree. All right, Case, I want to get some baseball in while you're on with us. Some tough news yesterday. Madison Bumgarner hurts himself in a dirt bike incident that was originally thought to be a 4 to 6 week injury. Then it became a 6 to 8 week injury. Buster Olney reported last night that the Giants fear it could be more than a 2 month injury. Does that just kill the Giants season? Are they now dead in the water in potentially winning the NL West being without Bumgarner for 2 months or more?
You know, it depends how long. Let's say it's 2 months. I don't think so, at least not because of that. The problem is the Giants haven't looked very good. You know, their left field scenario is a nightmare. They haven't hit the baseball well. People didn't realize that when they brought Melanson back, it doesn't mean they still didn't lose Afel, Casilla, Petit, Machie, Romo, and pretty much everyone who's in the bullpen the last couple of times they won the World Series. So they're still trying to figure out guys' roles in the back. You've had Boach, who had his issue off the field and was away from. They've had a lot of things go against them. So if the Giants were running full throttle, Jody, and it's a team of, let's say, like 2 years ago, then it's not a big deal because at the end of the day, you're talking about, you know, maybe 14, 15 starts. So let's say they win 10 of the games when Bumgarner is pitching or 11. If you win 5 instead and you lose 6 less games, you still got half the season left, not the end of the world. I'm worried about the rest of the team. I don't think the rest of the team is good enough to support it. And the thing I'll say about the Bumgarner thing is, you know, when Trevor Bauer had his injury in the playoffs and we all crushed him for a drone, it's because how dumb can you be to cut yourself on a drone? We killed Jabba Chamberlain because he went on a trampoline with his 6-year-old. We crushed Cespedes because he was on a golf course. All of those guys did nothing in comparison to what Bumgarner did. If you're going fast enough in the Rocky Mountains on a dirt bike to get into this kind of accident, and to me, you know, I love Mad Bum. I think part of what he is, Jody, is he kind of like flies by the seat of his own pants and beats to his own drum. But it's a selfish thing. I don't care if it's in the contract. You've got to be a responsible adult. And if I were a Giant fan or a teammate, I'd be ticked off because he put himself before the team doing that. You cannot do that during the course of the season.
Did he specifically negotiate the ability to ride dirt bikes and put that into his contract?
As far as I know, no. But I don't have the content. This is just based on what I've heard, no. But at the same time, even if it's not in his contract, because I don't think it's in either way. I don't think they said he can't or can. I mean, you know, you got to be responsible. It's like I was saying to somebody a couple of days ago. You know, I knew somebody once, a cousin of a friend who was a hand model. They're not going to go out like JPP and setting off firecrackers. They're going around with gloves because that's their moneymaker.
Right.
You and I can't sit there and, as much as we would like to, you know, scream out our lungs for 7 hours if we got to go on the air. if your livelihood is to be healthy and be on the field, you got to be healthy and be on the field. So I really don't care what was written or not written in. To me, it's about being responsible. That's the best player on this team every 5 days, including Posey, when he's on that field. And I don't think it should be a double standard. If that was Ubaldo Jimenez or if that was Bryce Harper, we'd be crushing those guys. And I don't think Bumgarner should get let off the hook for this.
No, when you're on the air, you're completely objective. But when you're off the air, you're a lifelong Met fan.
Yes.
I will ask you to blend the two here, be both a Met fan, but also be objective at the same time. Off to a pretty poor start. Nats come in, take two in a row from them, and have already opened up a bit of a lead, 4.5 games in the division. Mets could blink and all of a sudden be down by 7 or 8 games, and then it's going to be a chase all year long. I'm cutting them some slack because of an inordinate amount of injuries. I know you can't use injuries as an excuse unless you're so buried by them. And the Mets have, I know nothing has been long-term, short-term 10-day DLs and the like, Cespedes missing this whole series. They've had an over-the-top amount of injuries. You cut them as much slack as I am?
Some. I mean, I don't, you know, here's the thing, Jody. I can't get mad. I don't think they were as good as the Nationals going into the season. I just really didn't. I mean, we've talked about this before. I thought the Nationals would win the division last year. I still think they're better than the Mets. I just, you know, I don't trust and never did that Steven Matz would be healthy. So you look at kind of those three starters, that's the strength of the team. But this is a team that's got to win with pitching, with a bad defensive catcher who I know is now hurt. No center fielder. You got an aging shortstop. You got a sort of mediocre second baseman. Duda, I thought, would be a back issue. Instead, he's down for something else. I don't love the bullpen setting up for Familia either. So I picked them to win 86 games. I still think that's what they are. I mean, I think as long as they battle through these injuries, they're going to be okay because they're a better team than the Marlins. They're a better team than the Phillies. They're a better team than most of the National League because it is kind of top heavy. And then after that, there's kind of dreck. But I don't think they're as good as Washington. I don't. I think DC is a deeper lineup. And I think the biggest problem with the Mets is you might find a rally monkey at Citi Field before you find a rally. They have no speed. You have no ability to hit the other way. You have no ability to manufacture runs. And I think that this offense is kind of what we're seeing. So I'm not worried. I don't think they're a sub-500 team. I think they're somewhere in the mid-80s. But if they don't make a move in July, I don't see them getting any better. This is a team that's trying to play without a center fielder, and you rarely see teams win that way.
And last thing, if I told you the most 2017 pitcher in 2017 is Chris Davinsky of the Astros, meaning the direction that baseball's going and the ever-evolving role of the relief pitcher and doing more than just one thing. Last year it was Miller of Cleveland who almost got them to a championship. Can Chris Davinsky be that kind of 2017 pitcher for the Astros?
No, I don't think he's Andrew Miller. I think he's certainly going to be valuable for them, so I think he could help. I mean, they hope that, you know, somehow he can become what Betances became for the Yankees, where out of nowhere they had, you know, kind of a major factor in the bullpen that didn't have to be a closer. But, I don't think he's Andrew Miller. I think the more important thing, to be honest with you, Joe, for the Astros, is that Keuchel's 3-0 with an ERA under 1. I hope people understand. I mean, I picked the Astros to get to the World Series before the year. I thought they would need to get an ace in July. If Keuchel pitches the way he did 2 years ago, which is how he's looked now, if somehow he snapped back into place, that's the best team in the American League. I mean, that's the one thing they've been missing. It's the one thing the Red Sox and the Indians had on them. If Keuchel snaps into place that way and he turns into a sub-2 ERA guy and looks like the Cy Young he was 2 years ago, you're looking at the best team in the American League in Houston.
Okay, so it was a pleasure, my friend. Go back to watching hoops. We'll talk to you again down the road. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Joe, always appreciate it, bro. Talk to you soon.
My pleasure. That is Casey Stern. The NBA Network does some TNT studio work on the NBA side and talks baseball daily on SiriusXM MLB Network Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.